is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
I think one of the advantages we have in recruiting is everybody goes into a living room, right, brings a kid on campus and says, hey, we're going to take care of you for life. We'll always be there with you and all these other things. And it's probably true, but we can have a real life example where we gave a guy a chance to start his career. You know, and I think that's one of the reasons why we really wanted to help Matt, because we said it to him. You know, we'll help you find a job, and we helped him find an agent when he needed one. He was becoming a professional. But now, you know, we gave him an opportunity to start his basketball career, and I think he's helping us more than we're helping him.
Dwayne Killings is in his third season as the head men's basketball coach at the University at Albany. This episode is the third in a series that will chronicle the 2023-2024 season as Killings and the Great Danes compete for an America East Conference championship.
Hey, Hoopheads, I wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Brent Tipton from the Porsche Basketball Academy in Germany, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Are you a basketball coach or trainer looking to connect with new clients? U-Train is here to help you manage your business and reach a wider audience. Best of all, it's completely free to use. Simply create a profile, list your services, post pins, and share your free booking website link. You can set your own rates and schedule, and use U-Train to communicate with clients, manage appointments, handle refunds, and collect payments automatically. So why wait? Join U-Train today for free and start reaching new clients. That's U-Train, U-T-R-A-I-N, U-Train. Download today on the App Store and Google Play.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new FastDraw and FastScout. FastDraw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off FastDraw and FastScout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. FastModel also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. FastModel Sports is the best in basketball.
Get ready to take some notes as you listen to this episode with Dwayne Killings, head men's basketball coach at the University at Albany.
Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here this morning without my co-host Jason Sunkel, but I am pleased to welcome in head men's basketball coach at the University at Albany, Dwayne Killings, and the video coordinator at UAlbany, Matt Cerruti. Matt and Dwayne, welcome.
What's going on, man? It's great to be on.
Excited to have you guys.
Absolutely, man.
Thought we'd talk a little bit today with Matt, get his perspective. Guy who played in the program, now is back in the coaching side of it. Matt, tell me a little bit about just your role day to day, what you got, what you do, and how things have gone as you jumped into the coaching profession.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, having that point of view of playing under Coach Killings is a little bit unique in my shoes, because I can kind of help the guys understand better what is expected of them just having done it. And I think, you know, being able to do that daily where I can just, you know, take guys to the side during practice and share my thoughts or my feelings on maybe what they should be doing or what they haven't done or what they're doing well is huge for them. I know as a player, having somebody in your ear just kind of, you know, feeding you confidence was big for me. So I try to do the same thing for them. And then more on a skill side of things, I try to, you know, help the guys figure out their routines, because when I was here, coach was big on figuring out a good routine for me And that, I think, has carried a long way just in basketball and in my everyday life. So I've been trying to help some of the guys figure that out for themselves as well.
Give me some ideas on routines. What are you talking about exactly?
So, like, when you get into the gym, obviously nowadays with people like Steph Curry, kids want to get in and shoot step back threes right away. But I'm big on, you know, breaking down the game and starting, you know, with some form shots. Then you move the floaters. Then you do some quick movement mid-range shots or one dribble mid-range shots. Then you get to set threes, and then you finish on movement threes. So I think everything in basketball has a build-up. And in order to, you know, master the hard stuff, you actually have to be top at the easy stuff. So that's what I'm big on.
What's it been like transitioning in the relationship between you two guys, where obviously you come in as a grad transfer, you play a year for Coach Killings, then now you're going and you're part of his staff. And so I know that when you think about sort of the relationship that you have with your head coach as a player, and then you get to that relationship as a coach, obviously it changes. So how have you guys navigated that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been pretty easy. It's really natural. And as a player, coach is very open and honest with what he sees. So I know as a player, I could always talk to him and ask him questions, and I'd pick his brain on little stuff and just being curious. And I think it's the same as now. So all those little things he sees, details and, you know, defensive schemes, offensive plays, sets like that, it's easy to kind of transition.
Did you feel like right away you had a voice as you get in there, or did it take you a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks to kind of get in there and feel like, hey, I'm no longer a player. Like, I'm actually on the same level here in the coaching staff, with the coaching staff in a meeting. How did you feel about that part of it?
Yeah, I think, you know, it can definitely be a little weird seeing the game from the other perspective, but in terms of having a voice, I mean, I think I'm confident in who I am and what I know about the game of basketball. So I felt like I had a voice right away. And, you know, coach and the rest of the coaches have respect for me, which made that easy as well. And our players are very attentive and, you know, they want to learn. And so that made it easy as well. I think the biggest difference is just, you know, seeing the game at a different speed. It's a lot slower watching it than when you're playing. You know, when I played, it felt like it was moving at 100 miles per hour, and now I could kind of see it at a different perspective and speed, which honestly, it helps so much because I can break it down a little bit quicker for myself.
Dwayne, how'd you approach that relationship side of it and bringing Matt back on as a former player? How do you think about just that transition?
Yeah, you know what? When we had the opportunity to add somebody to our staff, you know, we looked at a couple different people, and you know, I took my time with it just to kind of make sure we got it right for me and for the program. But I also want to give Matt some time to really think about what he's getting into. I mean, you know, it's just one, you get paid a lot of money. It's a lot of hours. It's a big commitment. And making sure that, two, I think he was really done playing. I think sometimes, you know, he was a really good player. And I think that itch kind of still carries with some guys. And it was pretty clear he wanted to get in. I think he's trying to figure out, does he want to be in the college or the pro space? But he is where his feet are. And I think he's been tremendous, you know, for me to have here, because in all honesty, I think he knows what I want, you know, on the floor, in the office. So he's got this rhythm to the way that he works, which is great to see. I mean, it's just kind of like, if I ask a question, I know it gets done within minutes. And also he really cares about the place. I think he enjoyed his experience. He had success. You know, honestly, you know, he was a Division II basketball player throughout his career, but I think he proved a lot of people wrong, became an all-league player here. And I think he's appreciative of that opportunity. From the relationship standpoint, did I coach him? Was I his head coach? Yeah, I was. But I looked at it more like a mentorship, because when Matt was here, I mean, he was a man. I mean, he was older. You know, he had another year of eligibility. It was kind of like he was a guy that you didn't have to worry about. He was always in the gym. He was doing what he's supposed to do. You know, you could have conversations about, you know, maybe things he could do better, what he needed to, you know, improve at, or what his responsibilities were from a leadership standpoint. And I think there was no gray area. It was pretty black and white in the conversation. So it's been a lot of fun. You know, he's really, really talented. I mean, I think it was like the first or second week of fall workouts, and you know, he had a couple of things to say, and I was like, wow, when I was your age, I wasn't ready to do that. But I think it was the comfort, one, of being in a place that he played at, a place that he knew, and two, I think the trust and the relationship that he and I have, I think is really, really important. I think that helps him have confidence in just mentoring the guys and helping them and helping them be the best versions of themselves. I mean, because he still, is he in the gym? Yes, but he's also checking classes. He's also trying to help them, you know, grow as human beings, because one of our philosophies here is if we help them grow as individuals, that's going to help their basketball talent. And I think Matt is a guy that, you know, he's routine based. He's got really elite habits about himself. You know, he's not a flashy dresser, but he saved a lot of money. I mean, that says a lot about himself over the last year having played. You know, the habits that he has, he knows what's really important. I think he's very rooted human being. And then, you know, I think now he's developing into a professional. He's going to be a really good basketball coach, whatever side of the business he decides to be in. We're really lucky to have him here.
When did coaching get on your radar, Matt? Was that something that you were thinking about while you were in school, while you were in that grad year at Albany? Was it something that you thought, hey, I'm going to push this out. I'm going to try to play for as long as I can. Maybe I'll get into the business world and make some big money right off the right off the bat. Because obviously it, coaching, when you're starting out, you're not making a ton of money. So just give me your thought process on getting into the coaching profession and kind of where that came from.
Yeah, I mean, I think deep down I knew in the back of my mind I would get into coaching. Obviously, I didn't know exactly when or how that would happen because, you know, when I'm doing something, I'm all in. So when I was playing, I'm all in on playing until the moment I stop. Same with coaching, right? I mean, it could be anything. Whatever I'm doing in that moment, it's just 100% of my mind is going towards that. But I knew deep down I would get into coaching. Obviously, I love the game of basketball too much. I didn't want to not be around it at all. So that transition from playing to coaching in a couple months was fairly easy just because, I mean, in those couple months being away from basketball, you know, my life felt like it came to a stop. So just getting back into it has been easy. The routine of being in the gym and being around the guys also is, you know, what makes it awesome and extremely enjoyable.
What's been the learning curve as far as the video side of it? How familiar were you with sort of the back end workings of what it would take to be a video coordinator and kind of learning just the ins and outs of how to utilize the various systems, whether it's Synergy or whatever, in terms of putting all that together? What's that learning curve been like?
Yeah, I mean, as a player, I use Synergy on a very low level in terms of just watching film or, you know, highlights of certain players, even going on YouTube and checking out certain guys' highlights. And since I got here, I've learned how to, you know, cut up stuff on Synergy Editor. Our GA, John, has been great, kind of just teaching me the ropes. He's really good with Synergy Editor, really good with iMovie. So I've been learning the ins and outs on how to, you know, cut up certain stuff, find exact clips during a practice or an old game or an old scrimmage. And, you know, it's a learning curve for sure, but I'm learning as I go and I'm getting there.
What are some things that you picked up as you've been watching, obviously, a ton of film on the players, on your team, looking at that kind of stuff? What are some things that maybe you've picked up that you feel like your knowledge has grown in a particular area compared to when you were a player? Because I think when I think of watching film as a player, as you described a minute ago, you're kind of looking at things sort of from, I don't want to say necessarily a selfish perspective, but you're kind of looking at things of, what can I do to be better and how do I fit into the team? You're kind of looking at stuff that applies to you as a player. So now that you've been looking at it more holistically from the team, are there things that you feel like you've really gained a tremendous amount of knowledge in just by virtue of spending so much time in the film room?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, I was actually thinking about this a little bit the other day. You know, when we break down and practice and do guards and bigs, I've been doing the big man workouts lately, and my whole life whenever I've done workouts, it's always been guard stuff. So I could probably run a guard workout for any guard anywhere just because I have so many drills. And with a big, it's kind of new to learn because I wasn't a big, so I never really went through any of the stuff they did. And so seeing that every day and then watching them on film has been really eye-opening because obviously as a player, you have bigs on your team, but like you said, you're not necessarily focusing on what they're doing or how their footwork is or how they move in the post when there's a dribble drive coming at them. So I think seeing that side of the game has been really cool because I never really had to pay attention to it as much as I do now. And I think obviously as I learn more, I'll be able to help them as well, just having a different point of view.
How do you guys approach the player development side of it? And Matt, kind of how do you fit into working with guys? Obviously, you've had the off season, the summer, the preseason here in the fall, and now you guys are a couple weeks away from playing that first game. So as you think about player development and kind of how video and your role, Matt, fits in, how do you guys look at continuing to obviously work on the team things that you need to work on, but you're also trying to continue to help guys get better individually throughout the season? So how do you approach that and how does the film work fit into it?
I'll jump in for a second. You know, I think for Matt, in regards to the opportunity for Matt, it's twofold. What's best serves our program, but also what serves Matt. You know, I think when he's talking about going down with the bigs, you know, he's watching and learning from Coach Weitzel, who's been in the business so long. So now he's growing, you know, as a coach, which helps our program. So sometimes it's kind of dual served. You know, for the player development piece, I think where Matt is really, really valuable, and he's a lot like one of our assistants, KJ Baptiste, they love the individual part of developing players. And, you know, like you'll hear them in practice, like, we rep this, you know, that's what we rep today. That's what we were working on. That's the move, you know, whatever it is. And I think it really helps build the kid's confidence. So he's in the gym with guys, you know, pre-practice, you know, he's in the gym with the guys maybe on an off day or extra hours that we have. And then, you know, the last few practices, we've been kind of extending the clock for 10 to 12 minutes when we're done with live competition. And now it's on the kids, okay, you have a chance to either watch film, roll out, or get on the court and do individual work. And then I think that's where it gets really, really good, where Matt steps in and he's like trying to help them develop. And he's a younger guy. I mean, you know, he can move laterally a lot better than I. So sometimes he's just guarding guys, you know, and I think giving them a lot of look. Because I think, you know, the world we're in right now is, you know, the cones are great, but you know, you need a lot of bodies. And one of the things, you know, I spent some time at the Celtics earlier this year, and, you know, J.B. Bickerstaff's a close friend, and talk to him a lot. You know, they put live bodies on guys a lot. Now, the pace might be different, but it's a live human being guarding them when they're working on stuff, whether it's, you know, stepping behind the screen, shooting a three, or just a guy guarding you, you know, to get the guys at the feel and the rhythm of what you're trying to do. And I think Matt understands that, and he's been really good at it. And then, you know, we might watch clips pre-practice of our mentality club, whoever won it, or, you know, clips from a game. And now he's kind of taking what we'll talk about on our coaching staff and then applying it to the individual basis. And then, you know, we'll take individual player edits and I'll try to hit all the guys at least once a week individually. It might be 1 minute before practice is grabbing guys. And then these guys are on the court working on, you know, the sweat equity part of the game, like really breaking it down so they can understand it. And I think, you know, this last week, I can see what we've been trying to build for this team this year. It's coming alive because, you know, you got Amari Marshall running sprints, you know, as we talked about getting better physically. Jonathan Beagle took all the front court players and they played one-on-one after practice. And, you know, you look at another corner, KJ's got guys just making corner threes and, you know, running and sprinting to the corner for our spacing and shooting. It's all coming together and it takes time. You know, for our team, I think we have a really good team. We're not that old. So the habits that Matt had, he built that over a 4-year career and he had a 5th-year eligibility. We don't have that many guys that are at that point in life. So I think they're learning the process of what it takes to be good, the habits, and ultimately what it takes to win. And it takes a little bit of time to build it, but we're lucky to have a player that's done it. And he's done it here. And then his habits helped him have individual success, which helped us have team success. And I think one of the advantages we have in recruiting is, you know, everybody goes into a living room, right, brings a kid on campus and says, hey, you know what, we're going to you know, we're going to take care of you for life. We'll always be there with you and all these other things. And it's probably true, but we can have a real life example where we gave a guy a chance to start his career, you know, and I think that's one of the reasons why we really wanted to help Matt, because we said it to him, you know, we'll help you find a job and we helped him find an agent when he needed one. He was becoming a professional, but now, you know, we gave him an opportunity to start his basketball career. And I think he's helping us more than we're helping him. But I think this is a huge opportunity for our program that we should celebrate a lot, you know, because I think it's a big deal.
Matt, how do you get prepared? Not only are you coaching, but then if you're stepping out on the floor against guys who are going at it for 2.5-3 hours every day and all the other things that they're putting in, and you're on the coaching staff and you got to be sitting in coaches' meetings and you're not getting the same level of work, I'm sure, that on the court, unfortunately, that you were when you were playing. So just how do you approach actually getting out on the court and work with guys from a physical standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, I still like to stay pretty active. I lift and run a lot just so I can, you know, give them the best look defensively that will be realistic to like an in-game situation. But I mean, I just know too, for when I was a player, if someone came onto the court and played defense and it was bad defense, I would get really worked up in my workouts because I would feel like they're wasting my time. So I don't want to do that to them. I want to give them the best look possible to help them get better. And I know that's my job to do and that I can definitely do it because I'm only a couple months out of playing professionally. So I'm still in decent shape and, you know, I think I can go out there, and I wasn't the best defender, but I'll give them some live looks.
How much do you appreciate the opportunity to be able to be on the floor and kind of hold on to that part of you as a player?
Oh yeah. I mean, it means the world. I'm a hoops junkie, basketball junkie. I play all the time whenever I can. If I'm home, I'll go play pickup at the rec center or the YMCA. I think that's something that'll never leave me just because my love for the game. So being out there with the guys and, you know, playing defense and talking and all that stuff, it's just really great to do.
All right. So what's a question? You talked about a little bit earlier how the fact that you went through the program with Dwayne as your head coach, and now you have guys who are in the same position that a couple of years ago you were in as a player. So what are some things that maybe a player comes to you with that you feel like there are areas that you can help them, or maybe they have a question for you? I don't know if you want to throw out a specific question somebody's asked you, or just maybe in general, what are some of the areas where you try to help guys walk through and maybe help them to see a better perspective of kind of what the coaching staff wants out of them? Because I think sometimes there's a perception among players that, oh man, the coach doesn't necessarily understand what I'm going through. But obviously from your perspective, you know, 2 years ago, you were in the exact same spot that these guys were in. So what are some of the things or conversations that you have with guys about maybe the expectations that coaches have that they're maybe struggling with in terms of what coaches are looking for?
Yeah, I think a big thing would be, you know, like the lift part of it for the guys, because I know obviously it's hard when you're practicing all week and then you got to get in the weight room and lift, and the lifts are never easy. And I remember as a player, like early on in my career, I had to figure out why I was in the weight room. And I was one of those kids that always was curious, like, why am I doing this? Why are we doing that? Like, is this going to help me? What's the point of this? What's the point of that? So I think being through it, I can, you know, help them understand why they're doing things, that everything we do is for a reason. There's nothing that's just thrown at you just to throw it at you. And kids can be curious. They want to know, like, what this specific lift is going to benefit them on a basketball court. So I think being able to just explain to them that I've done it and been through it and there's a reason behind it helps them just mentally, you know, understand, like, all right, I'm getting better today. Even if I don't feel like this is benefiting me on the court, it really is. So I think, you know, helping them out with that can be a big factor for the guys.
Dwayne, how important is that? I think when I think about a guy who is on the staff, who's an alum, especially someone who's as recent as what Matt's experienced, I think that that particular insight that they can bring about, hey, kind of the why behind it, and to help be able to explain that to players. Because let's face it, when when players are in the locker room, there's lots of times like, hey man, why are we doing this? Or, oh, you know, this is, you know, this is kind of tough. I'm not sure that I'm getting what I'm supposed to be getting out of it. So how valuable is it to have somebody that recently who played for you to be able to have, you know, to have that kind of insight on your coaching staff?
Yeah, I think perspective is always key in this whole thing. You know, if I looked at, you know, Marcus Jackson and Jonathan Beagle are two freshmen from last year. They're more prepared for what they're ahead for in their year two because they just have perspective. And I think that makes them better players just because they've been through the season. You know, they've walked into different arenas. They've seen different defenses. I think it's freshman, you're overwhelmed sometimes. Now, you know, you go into transfers. Okay, what's this going to be like? It's a new experience. Hey, the last coach told me this. Now you're telling me to do something completely different. Matt's been through it and he's had success. So it's almost like sometimes he gives them a little bit more of comfort and trust in what's going on because, you know what? I mean, the game of basketball now, it used to be like when I was in college, I mean, you just kind of played and then you heard about guys and you showed up in the gym, you played against them. You see into everybody's world now through social media and conversations. So I think sometimes the kids are like, hey, why aren't we doing that? Hey, we should try this. You know, and I think sometimes it gives you a false narrative too because you only see what the camera allows you to see. You know, the other day somebody sent me this video. It was Deion Sanders, and he's getting on his guys pretty good about it. It looked like somebody maybe missed class and they were complaining about working. You don't hear that story. You hear the other stories more. And I think for us, a lot of times when we need to redirect our team, you know, I think Matt presents like a kind of a calming voice of, hey, this is how it's supposed to be. Hey, this is the outcome we're going to have because they don't know. You know, they don't know. They're going through it. And we don't have necessarily the older voices that have been through it for a few years. I mean, Aaron Reddish is the oldest voice that we have that has played the most games. You know, we do have two other guys that joined the program with him, but Justin Neely tore his ACL last year. So his journey's been a little bit different. Namir Little's been injured both of his years. You know, last year only played four games for sitting out the rest of the season. So, you know, we don't have that perspective, you know, with us. So I think that presents a lot of that.
It's interesting, again, when you think about the landscape of college basketball, like you said, Dwayne, that social media has obviously changed a ton of it because everybody can see and people are cherry picking. Hey, we're showing the best stuff, whether that's from a player or a team perspective. We're getting to see. We don't get to see the downside. We get to see the upside. So obviously everybody's comparing that. And then I think the other part of it that you talked about is just I think players today, they really do want to know why they're doing things. Back long, long time ago, man, when I played, like I never even thought about the question why. I mean, I thought about it in my own head, but I never brought the question why to a member of my coaching staff because it just was a different era where that's what you'd said, what somebody said, that's what you did. And I think now being able to answer that why question and obviously to have somebody who is so recently in the program is really valuable. And when I think about building a coaching staff, to me, I always feel like if you can have at least one person who's an alum and has that connection and has gone through the experience. And again, obviously Matt's situation is even better because it's so recent, but I think having an alum on the staff from a recruiting, from just being able to talk to players and explain to them and just say, hey, I was in your shoes and being able to go through that. I think that part of it has got to be invaluable without question. Matt, when you think about your coaching career and you think about where you are and just kind of getting started and you look ahead in another year or two, what's an area that you feel like you really want to grow in and become better at as a coach over the next year or two? What's an area that you want to see growth in?
Yeah, I mean, I think pretty much almost every area I would like to see growth in. I'm so new to it and there's so many things that I'm learning and trying to piece together. Obviously the film side of it, there's a lot for me to learn and grow into. And then I think on the court, something specific would be like play calling, just having a better feel for when certain plays will work and when they won't work and how to switch defenses. So, I mean, it's been cool to see when we do like breakdown drills and, you know, what play is being called at what time against what defense or how to switch defenses in the correct way. So I think, you know, the little like nuances of the game, just learning a feel for when to use that stuff is going to be cool to learn. Because as a player, obviously, you're always just – you're just doing what you're told. You're calling what's being told to you. And then when you switch sides of it to a coach, you kind of get control of what you want to call and what you think will work. So it's a lot of pressure, obviously, to make the correct call. But I think it's, you know, interesting to see how coach can decipher which plays to use.
What's been the most surprising thing transitioning from player to coach, something that you didn't know about Dwayne when you were a player because maybe you didn't get to see that side of him or you just weren't in those conversations? What's something that was maybe not what you thought or something surprising that you learned about him that you didn't know when you were a player?
I don't know if it would be something I didn't know, but I would say the, you know, just the total investment in the guys. There's no, every second where we are, you know, trying to make sure that we're getting it right for these guys. And I think, you know, even as a player, sometimes you don't truly grasp that, you know, all the coaches, all they're trying to do is make sure that you get better as players and better as young men. And, you know, I think that can go unnoticed as a player. So as a coach, seeing it, you know, it just gives you a little bit more perspective. And, I mean, there's no other staff that you would rather play for or work for because of that.
Dwayne, what's something that when you thought about Matt as a player and what made him successful there, what characteristic or characteristics that you saw in him as a player made you think that, hey, I know this guy's going to be successful as a coach?
I think just his consistency. You know, we have a kind of thing that we say here, everyday guy. I mean, he's that, you know, every day he's got, you know, he's on time. He always gets his lift in. He runs 2 or 3 miles on the treadmill. You know, typically he's one of the last guys to leave. I don't necessarily acknowledge that as much as I probably should, but, you know, there's a consistency about who he is. You know, he never says he's tired. He doesn't bring the outside world in. I mean, we all have stuff going on in our lives, and I'm always cognizant of that. But I mean, first and foremost, he's always worried about how can he help the program. And I think when I was looking back at my career, I mean, somebody just told me, just go to work early and leave late. And always remember, like, you have a job to do. And if you can focus on those things and make things better for the coaches and the other people that you serve, you know, the players and the program, you know, you'll be fine in the business. And I've always kept that in mind. Matt has that naturally as a human being. You know, the way his family is rooted, and his mom actually just up here and she's super proud of him. I mean, they're really tight knit. They take care of each other. His two brothers came up here a couple weeks ago. I think it's who he is as a person that I really value. That's been a lot of fun to have him here. You know, it's a little weird, you know, probably maybe, you know, when we go after a game, maybe get a beer together. That'd be a little weird.
See, that's the kind of honesty I'm looking for. Like, I always ask that question about what's that transition like? And everybody's always like, oh, it's great. You know, we get along, you know, and this and that. I'm always like, I don't know if I could sit in a coaching staff in a meeting with the guy that I played for and just all of a sudden be like, you know, yucking it up and having a beer. I'm not sure I could have done that at 23, 24 years old very well.
Yeah, that part of it was probably harder, you know, for me. You know, that part of it. And, you know, his girlfriend bailed on us the other night babysitting, so that kind of screwed up my night with my wife. But, you know, we don't take that out on him. He's still my dad. So treat him to lunch and all that stuff. But no, he's been terrific. I think he's got a bright future in this business. You know, I know all his guys that, you know, Wood, his high school now in Philly, are rooting for him. I mean, he's got a lot of respect, you know, in a really good, you know, basketball community. And I know people are rooting for him to be successful. And he's going to represent them well and represent, you know, us well here. And, you know, we're lucky to have him. We're trying to hold on to him for as long as we can. But most importantly, he makes the guys better. And I'm really excited for him.
I think it's cool that, again, you guys are talking about investing in your players as basketball players, obviously making them better, but also just to continue. I know, Dwayne, this has been a theme, kind of what you and I have talked about over the years, of just not only improving them as players on the court, but also trying to make them better off the floor and make them better people. And when you do that, I think ultimately that affects your program, that affects your team, and it makes you better in every way, shape, and form. And then obviously you're talking about after kids graduate, and Matt's a great example of that, where you're looking out for them, not just during the 2 years or 3 years or 4 years or 5 years that they're with you, but for the duration of their life that you're building those relationships. And to me, I think that's one of the things that clearly is most valuable. So Matt, when you think about that and building those relationships, I know it's amazing. We've talked to so many guys on the podcast about how they got their start in coaching. And so many of them think back to their first year and they say, yeah, I still, even those guys might've been 20 years ago or 25 years ago. There's still tons of guys that I still talk to, even though it's 20 years ago, but they were my first team. And so for you, kind of thinking about this first team and building relationships, how do you perceive that idea of building a relationship? What does that look like for you? So you're building the relationship, not just on the court, but off the court with the players that you're interacting with.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm a big believer in, you know, a lot of relationships have to be natural. You know, when relationship is forced, it kind of feels funky or off, or trust isn't really there. So I kind of, you know, want it to naturally build with the guys as we work on the court and as we grow together. I think we've gotten more comfortable with each other. And I think some of the guys appreciate that as well. Just being able, you know, to have somebody they can ask questions to or that they trust. But that side of it, I don't think can be forced. I think it has to be naturally, you know, built between two people. And I think also as the season goes, you learn a lot about each other in tight games, close games, whatever, hard practices. So I think that aspect of the relationship piece is really big. And obviously, like, we're here to help all of these kids. And as they grow, we want them to be able to look back and, you know, remember their time here and really appreciate it. Because I know that's what I always say. The year I was here is probably the best year of my life. So and able to, you know, recreate that for them, I want to be as helpful as I can.
Where are you guys at in terms of prep for game one against UMass? Where are you staying right now, Dwayne?
Yeah, you know what? We had a few bodies down in our last scrimmage, and I thought we did some really good things. But I thought we, as a program, we were very confident. And I think the other head coach of the other program had a lot of really good things to say about what we're trying to do. Now, with that, you know, we got to make some adjustments as we get some guys healthy. You know, it's crazy as you think it's less than 2 weeks away now. You play your first game of the year. I wish we had a lot more time. You know, I think we're where we're supposed to be. We got some work to do. I mean, there's still some things that we wanted to kind of get going. But, you know, October is a hard month in college basketball. I mean, guys just start going down. I think just, you know, the excitement of the year kind of wears off, and you're in that weird window where you're trying to grind through practice after practice after practice, and, you know, guys get banged up. But hopefully we get back on the floor healthy here. Yeah, you know, it's been one of our challenges, but we're going for it. You know, we believe in this group. We got some talented guys that have a chip on their shoulder, got stuff they want to prove. We're really excited about what we're capable of doing, but our head's down just working. You know, rankings, stuff on Twitter, all that, that's not our deal. You know, we just go out here and work, and, you know, we're going to take advantage of the first opportunity we have to compete coming up soon.
Dwayne, Matt, can't thank you guys enough for taking the time this morning to jump on. Really appreciate it. And very, very soon, we'll be able to talk some actual basketball, getting out on the floor and getting some games under your belt, which I know you guys are excited about. And I know your players are excited about. As you said, you're kind of grinding away against each other. And once you get into the rhythm of the season, and it becomes, I don't want to say easier, because that's probably not the right way to say it, but you got something, that you got that carrot dangling in front of you of the next game coming. And so I know everybody's excited to get on the floor and see what you guys look like against, you know, against an opponent, and, you know, obviously opening up with UMass. So good luck in that one. We may or may not talk before then. Who knows? We'll have to see. I think we're planning to try to maybe get one more in. But if not, we will talk after that. And again, Matt, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate you being a part of it today. And to everyone out there, thanks for listening. And we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Your first impression is everything when applying for a new coaching job. A professional coaching portfolio is the tool that highlights your coaching achievements and philosophies, and most of all, helps separate you and your abilities from the other applicants. The Coaching Portfolio Guide is an instructional membership-based website that helps you develop a personalized portfolio. Each section of the Portfolio Guide provides detailed instructions on how to organize your portfolio in a professional manner. The guide also provides sample documents for each section of your portfolio that you can copy, modify, and add to your personal portfolio. As a Hoopheads Pod listener, you can get your coaching portfolio guide for just $25. Visit coachingportfolioguide.com/hoopheads to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.